Amen. Yeah, I have some things have come to me lately. I think something that Jim and when Jim and Joanne were in the car with me, we took them down to the airport Wednesday morning, left the house about 3:30 in the morning to catch that 6 a.m. flight. And Jim said a few things. I don't know whether he knew that he said it or not. And sometimes I take a word that somebody speaks, even though they didn't intend to speak it, I take it sometimes as a prophetic word. And he talked about praying for a couple of spirits. And I might add that I do believe that we need to go again to focus on deliverance from spirits, okay? We do believe in that. It's been a while since we've really focused on that. We focused on some other things, but it's a practical thing. And the Lord, the first word that the Lord gave to Brother Campbell, one of the first times he came to our fellowship, he said, "The Lord shows me you're not going to become a big, massive church, but the Lord's calling for you, this fellowship, is to be a clinic." And people come to a clinic to get healed in the natural. People come to a spiritual clinic to get delivered from spirits. And by the way, I am recording this, so if you need a recording later on, you can ask for it. We'll give it to you. So we're talking about focusing on deliverance from spirits. I think the things that we prayed for this morning, the needs that we prayed for, have all focused on spirit needs, people that need to be delivered from the bondage of spirits. This three-year-old child that Rita brought up first. Amen. People in our family, Karen's family. And I want to go so far as to say that we ourselves, we who are longtime Christians, we who are born again long time, we have spirits yet that trouble us, that we need deliverance from. And anyway, I was getting back to what Jim said. He said, pray for against the spirit of the thief, and also pray against the spirit of the vagabond. Okay, and if we're, you know, when we're ministering to people who have needs. And I suppose everybody really has needs, but the difference is a lot of people don't admit that they have needs, and they're in a type of environment or fellowship where they're told that they have no needs and that everything is glory, glory, and they're just moving on and getting richer and richer, or whatever it is that people are telling them. And so therefore, I believe there's a certain amount of people who do not admit that they have needs. Now, so as I was sitting at home, I've been meditating on this since then, and I'm Rita and I got back from the North Country again yesterday afternoon, and the Lord began to speak to me about the spirit of the thief, and I have never ever spoken on the spirit of the thief, and. So I began to make some notes, I began to look into the Word, I began to look up the meaning of these words, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll be prepared, but this isn't what I had in mind for today. I wanted to go on to some of the other things but the Lord, I think, was pressing me, and I said, well, Lord, suppose nobody shows up, what good will it do? But I guess people are here, so the Lord must want us to hear this message. I pray that you be open. And perhaps I'm going to ask you when we get finished with this, have any of you been encountered by the spirit of the thief? before you even hear the word, you probably will say, yes, I probably have. But I think when we finish with this, you're going to say, yes, I have. And the other thing I'm going to say is, let's not leave it at that. If you believe, and if you come to believe that you need help, that the spirit of the thief has been robbing and plundering away at your life, that then let us take time, maybe not today, maybe go home and pray about it, but let us make a time when we gather together to be open with one another, not holding anything back. Yes, I have been robbed. The thief has been after me, and maybe it's way back in your life, maybe it's in the present time of your life. But let's go to the Word of God. I have only one great verse from the Bible that speaks about this spirit. And it is a very important verse. How many of you know John chapter 10?
10:10.
And John, well, the thief is mentioned several times in this chapter, all right? I'm going to read these 10 verses, maybe 11, just to put it in context, so that you see, as far as I'm concerned, John chapter 10 is probably one of the most significant messages that Jesus ever brought. Every one of his messages is the most significant. How do I pick one out above the other? But today, this day, this is the most significant. Tomorrow will be another one. Amen? All right, so, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What is he talking about? How does a thief and robber get into the sheepfold? What are they doing in the sheepfold? What is the sheepfold? Let's just stop there for a minute. What is the sheepfold? It's us. It's the people of God. It's the flock. We're just sheep, brethren. Even if we're doing shepherd work, we're still sheep. Sheep shepherding other sheep. Amen? So he's saying, he does not enter the door unto the sheepfold. He climbs up some other way. Now, remember our teaching on the tabernacle. There's a gate and there's a door. Remember? The gate is the outer perimeter. The door is the entrance into the kingdom of God. The door is the holy place. Amen? And the messages that we preach are not oriented to the outer court. I have nothing against preaching to the outer court. If that's what your calling is, preach to the outer court. Preach to the outer court means preach salvation, get them saved, tell them about hell, tell them they're going to hell if they don't accept, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, but the focus that the Lord has given us is what's behind the door into the kingdom. I'm going to call it the kingdom of God, okay? So, he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In other words, Jesus not only enters into the door. What does he say? I am the door. Amen? How do you get in? He doesn't say, I am the opener of the door. He said, I am the door. He doesn't say, I will swing open. In other words, you don't understand this in the natural, do you? How do you come through the door? He doesn't say, I'm going to open the door. He says, you come through the door. In other words, you come through Jesus Christ. He doesn't move. You go through him. Going through him is supposed to strip off the stuff that you're trying to carry in, stuff in your soul that doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. We have temperament things in our soul that don't belong in the kingdom of God. They have no business in the kingdom of God, and you cannot keep them and bring them into the kingdom of God and expect to function in the kingdom with these things that we bring in. We bring in anger, we bring in hatred, we bring in animosity, we bring greed, we bring, oh my goodness, lust. The list goes on and on endlessly. All right, so we come through Jesus. And this is why it's very difficult for a rich man to enter in. It's as easy for a camel to come in through that small door, okay? So, because there are other holds, things that have hold upon our soul. All right. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his... By the way, what is the porter? Who's this porter fellow here? Amen? The doorkeeper. Who's the porter? Well, we know that John the Baptist was a porter, wasn't he? He opened the door to the kingdom of God. He said, how did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So there's a porter ministry there. A porter ministry is announcing the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, I think we're still carrying on a porter ministry, aren't we? And the true porter is opening the door to the true Word, and Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. He is the light. He is the life. He is the way. There is no other way. And the porter is showing that there is no other way than through Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm getting down to my verse here. Amen. The porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Amen. You know, somebody gave me a prophetic word on that. There was a woman living down in Clifton Park when we were living way up north in Glens Falls, I guess. I don't know why she gave that word. She ran for assembly. No, she ran for Congress. You don't remember Pat Brooks?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember her?
I do.
Yeah? We got to know her kind of intimately. In fact, I ran around Glens Falls with a sheets of paper getting signatures. I mean, she didn't do very well. She was going against all these big wigs, you know, that... So her campaign, her northern campaign manager wasn't very effective either, I guess. But I remember she gave me that word one time. And I think it's a good word, you know? Amen. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, here's the thing about true sheep. True sheep know the voice of the true shepherd. And another they will not follow. Amen?
Amen.
Another they will not follow. Now, you can get goats to follow other voices, okay? And you can get other creatures and other critters to follow other voices. But the true voice of Jesus Christ, the true message of the kingdom of God, the true sheep will hear it, they will understand it, they will say, yes, that's the truth, that's the word I want. There's no other word. You know, like Jesus said to the disciples, are you going to go away too? And who was it? Was it Peter? Peter that said, where else can we go? Nobody else has the word. Amen?
Amen.
And Peter recognized that what was going on down there in the old temple with the scribes and Pharisees and priests, there was no life in what they were doing. And Peter understood that, and he recognized it. And he saw that there was life in Jesus Christ. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Amen? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. There's the second one, the second mention of thieves here. Thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, there were people that heard them, and there were people that followed them, and there were people that allowed themselves to get into bondage to those other voices. But Jesus is saying, I'm here, I'm looking for my true sheep, because my sheep are hidden away among this great crowd. Here's one, here's one, here's one, here's a family of them. He said, I'm looking for my true sheep. Amen. Amen. The thief, okay, where did I finish? Okay, 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, he's not putting you in bondage. He says you're going to come and go and find pasture. I'm not locking you up. I'm not putting handcuffs on you. Amen. I'm not putting leg irons on you or any such thing. But you're going to have the liberty to move in the things of the Spirit of God, okay? Now, here's the verse I'm looking for. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then he goes on to compare the hireling with the true shepherd. You know, I got to laugh. I remember a brother, I guess it's safe to say, this goes back years, here in this community, when I say community, I mean the greater Capital District. We started off years ago with a bunch of young fellows that had aspirations to be pastors. And this one brother came up to me and he said, I guess he had formed a corporation for the church. No, he was changing it. He said, I'm going to change the bylaws of the church. I said, oh, what for? He says, well, I've got a copy of these bylaws from another friend of mine. He says, and I'm going to make it so that the church can never fire me as pastor. Now, this is pastor. All right, we're not pastors. We're not hired, by the way. So I said, why are you going to do that? He says, so I won't be a hireling. If I can't be fired, I'm not a hireling. I thought, whoa, boy, where did he get that kind of reasoning? That isn't exactly what Jesus had in mind when he compared the shepherd with a hireling. Okay, I'm not going to go that way. I want to go, that is a good way sometime to talk about what is a hireling. But let's define what he said here of what is a thief. I think black would be a good color for the thief, don't you? I have never brought a message on the spirit of the thief. And Jesus, this is the best verse here. You go into the Old Testament, you find the word thief. You find the word thief quite a few times. You find that if there was a thief caught, you know they were to take him out and kill him. And then there were certain circumstances that if he stole and it was found, and then he had to pay back double, and I think there might have been times he had to pay back even more than double to pay back. So, you know, obviously the laws of our land do not conform to the Old Testament law. I don't know, maybe the Muslims still, what do they do? They cut the hand off. Did you know that? I've seen videos of them actually doing it. They lay the guy's hand, saw it off, put it in hot boiling oil to sear off the end so the guy doesn't bleed to death. I mean, there's no surgeon doing this. But this is a very harsh treatment. That's not what I want to talk about. I'm just saying the Old Testament deals with a thief. But there are two words, actually, that are translated thief. And the one that's used in John 10, right here, is the one I want to talk about. Now, this word thief, I'm going to write it up here on the board, is, you're going to recognize this word, K-L-E-P-T-E-S. This is the word, the Greek word thief. Okay? Wonder where that word, have you ever seen anything like that word? Yeah. And what is a kleptomaniac?
He steals.
A man that steals. And he's a shoplifter. He steals stuff that he doesn't even need. A kleptomaniac would come in here, everybody's looking the other way. I mean, he takes anything. Because he's just driven to steal. So the word thief is kleptos. Now, the nature of this thief is, Jesus says he has three characteristics of this thief. And by the way, Larry, I'm going to ask you to help me here if I ever get in trouble on what thieves do, okay? You're a man that knows a little bit about finance. You know more about finances and wheelings and dealings, probably had more experience than I have. So I'm going to ask you, if I get in trouble, you can back me up. Or you can throw stones at me or whatever that tell me I'm going the wrong way. All right, so what does the thief do? He has three characteristics, okay? Number one, the thief cometh what?
Steal.
To steal. to steal, and that Greek word is klepto. So the obvious thing about a thief is that he's a stealer. Okay? Now, Jesus isn't talking about just an average thief here. Okay? He's talking about a spirit. And the spirit of the thief does more than just take things from you. Okay? He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to what?
Kill.
And what else?
Destroy.
Now, let's define these words so that we know what the nature of this thief is. All right, I'm going to use blue here so that we have a different color. The word steal, I said, is klepto. Okay? And there, the other kind of steal, there's two kinds. The one is the thief that comes by violence. In other words, he comes shooting and killing and you know, drive over you with a truck, whatever. He's very violent in his stealing. He comes in with guns blazing, you know. That's not the kind of thief we're talking about, okay? So Jesus said the thief, and this is the klepto, is by stealth. By stealth, not violence. So this is the kind of thief who would also be a burglar. Okay? But that he's not limited to burglarizing. We're going to see from some of these other things that he has more activity than just sneaking into your house, you know, when you're all asleep. That's not all there is to it. Okay? Kill is quite clear. The Greek word doesn't mean a thing to me. T-H-U-O doesn't mean a thing. I don't know Greek. But what it means is simply to slay. To slay. So this, the spirit of this thief, part of his nature is stealing, klepto. Part of his nature is killing. In other words, if he can kill you in the process, he'll kill you. He doesn't mind. He has three sides of his nature. And the third side of his nature is to destroy. I'm going to put the... again, it's an interesting Greek word. You begin to understand that some of these words tie in with other words, okay? So this word destroy is A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. And its number in the Strong's is 622. And the reason I put that Greek name there is because the next one, 623, is Apollyon. And where do you find that word Apollyon in the Bible? In fact, it's given right in the Greek in Revelation. And who is he?
The destroyer.
He's the destroyer. And it gives it in English, it gives it in Hebrew, and it gives it in Greek in Revelation, and it says that he is also the king of what? The abyss. He's the king of the bottomless pit. Now, you can debate whether this is Satan or whether this is another spirit, but I'm going to say that this spirit, this king of the bottomless pit, is a fallen angel, and that his name is the destroyer, and that his name was revealed also in when the children of Israel were wanting to come out of Egypt as the 10th plague, where the Lord said to Moses, I will release the destroyer to the Egyptians. All right, and that's that same name. It's a name. This one is in Hebrew. It's Abaddon or something like that. Abaddon, Apollyon, and in English, it's the destroyer. So you can see that by the way, this is Satan's thing. Everything that is sacred to God, Satan wants to destroy. Satan wants to destroy the thing of marriage. Anything he can do to destroy it. Any kind of quarrel he can get going. Any kind of disagreement. He'll use issues of health, whatever, anything, to try to destroy misunderstanding. What's he working on big time right now? Gender. Male and female created he them. And we were having a discussion with our young, how old is he now? 16, almost 17-year-old grandson. And he was just laying it out to us what they're doing with not necessarily in the school that we're in, but he's aware of what's going on around him. He went to camp and he found some girl up there that wanted to argue that she had a right to choose whatever gender she wanted to be. And he'll bristle right back with arguments. He loves a good argument in that sense. But then I heard, I don't know, it was one of the talk show. I think it was a guy that was substituting for Rush this week. Rush was only on for two days or something. I listened for a little while, and one of these other fellas came on. And he was giving an example. I'm talking about destruction. Destruction of everything that God has created. And he said this legislator in, I don't know what state it was. It's usually California. But New York is right first step behind. This legislator, it was a state legislator, I guess it was. The state legislator said he wanted to put three choices on the driver's license for gender, male, female, and X. And he says, now you're not, this is a talk show guy, he says, you're not gonna win against these guys by just giving them a big argument. They are not open to your argument. So what this, I guess it was a governor of one of these states, so the governor said, okay, if that's what you want to do, I looked in your gender catalog or your gender whatever, wherever they list genders, and he said, I found that there were 33 of them. Yes, 32 or 33, I forget the number. He said, so we're going to have to debate every one of these 33 in the assembly. We're going to have to give you at least an hour to debate it. Are you prepared? Is this what you want to do now for the rest of the year in our assembly? And the other guy said, oh, forget it, drop it, it's not worth it. So the guy was saying, this is the way to beat it. That's their way of beating it, okay? This is the devil. Everything that God has created, your body, your health, your welfare, your soul, every opportunity, every trick that he can think of to bring destruction to your life, he's going to do it. Now, we're talking about the meaning of this, the word destroy, okay? This is not annihilation, okay? Shall I write that up here? This is not to annihilate you. This word destroy, yes, he doesn't mind if he could annihilate you, but he can't. God will not allow him, all right? So this destroy is not annihilate, A-N-N-H-I, how do you spell it? L-A-T-E, not annihilate or make extinct. Okay, but here's what he wants to do. I'll use these words: to mar, spoil, ruin, and you can add more, render useless, loss. Let me just put the word loss here too. And let me give you an example in the word of where the destroyer brought loss. The word lost son. He wasn't annihilated. He wasn't made extinct. What happened to his life? Except that he turned back to the father's house, his life was in shambles. He was worth nothing. I mean, here he started off in his father's house. He had a heritage. He could have had anything in his father's house. But decisions that he began to make about what he wanted to do in the world, how he wanted to conquer the world or whatever, he wanted all the money he could have from his father's house, and he took it and he wasted his substance, and he became a lost son. He was still a son.
He was rendered useless.
He was rendered useless. The only use that he could find for himself was feeding pigs. That in his estimation, was the best job he could find. He was gone. Wow, how did he waste it? How did the destroyer work on him to waste him in that manner? What did he spend that money on?
Riotous living, it said.
Riotous living.
Harlots.
Drinking. Drugs.
Gambling.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Now, loss. Destroy. So, get back to John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, klepto, kill. Yes, if he can get away with it. God usually stops him, but he'll try. And if you give in to him, what are suicides all about? Yeah.
God showed Brother Burke that David Wilkerson was deliberately killed by the devil.
Yeah. The devil got to him, turned a semi right across the on a bridge.
Why are you telling him out?
I don't know. I don't understand. But suffice it to say, brethren, you have got to keep your guard up every minute. Okay. Now here's where I'm going to get into deep water. And if you're going to be mad at me, go ahead and be mad. But I'm gonna say what I have to say anyway. And here's where Larry can stick his foot in if I'm wrong on this. I want to take first of all this one, steal. We can talk about destroy. We can talk about kill. I've already I want to go back to this one right here for a minute because it relates most specifically to the spirit of the thief. Okay? And I'm going to ask the question, how? How in my life? How in my circumstances? How in this modern 21st century can the thief get at us? You keep your house locked for the most part, don't you? Well, I don't know. Mine isn't right now, but... All right, so we're going to... That's number three, Rita. We have to take my order here, okay? I'm going to start with marketing, okay? And those of you that are clever in this area, marketing. Wherever there's a market for anything, wherever there's an opportunity to negotiate anything, what's going to be there?
Greed.
And what is greed going to do? Greed is going to mean that there's going to be the spirit of the thief. Okay? Now, generally, if you go down to Price Chopper, the price is the price. There's no opportunity. Well, maybe the whole corporation could rob a little bit, but this is why the laws of anti-monopoly are set up, so that one big guy cannot get the whole hold and rob everybody. Okay, that's why there are several gas companies. And the laws are against monopolies so that they cannot get in cahoots and say, well, let's all raise our price and let's rob everybody. Okay? That would be the spirit of the thief. And apparently that spirit is so available that the government tries to make laws to prevent that from happening. However, there are unregulated realms of marketing, amen, that do not seem to come under these government laws. And what is the appeal? How can we possibly fall to marketing thievery?
Temptation.
Temptation because of what? Our desires.
Everything is designed to attract you by your desire.
Yes. So what?
This is cute. I'm just going to buy it.
Desires are what? They're part of our soul. Remember, we have the four parts of our soul. We have the mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires. Okay? And what animal was represented by the desires?
Man.
Man. The eagle was what? The mind, right? The will was represented by the ox. An ox can be very willful, you know, a bull. He wants to do what he wants to do, and he's big enough to do it. What was it?
Emotions
is the lion, okay? Now, our emotions might get involved in this thing, too, so let's not leave that out. What Rita mentioned, it looks cute. But these have got to be working in concert with each other. Okay, and of course your mind has to agree with it.
And your will has to yield to it.
Oh boy, Rita's got them all in here. Okay. Now, let me give an example. Oh, yeah, not right away. What is the thing that, there are things that you buy that you need. Am I right?
Yeah.
But there are things that you are attracted to that are not needed. Right? And what's going to happen when they get home?
They can play with it one day. And
they're going in a pile somewhere. You'll remember where it is for a few days. And after a while, it's just part of the pile. And you know what? What did you pay for it? Do you remember? $10, you didn't get robbed, too bad. $100, you got robbed more. You didn't need it. $1,000, yes. You maybe paid big bucks because they really put on a show. So you got robbed $1,000. You could have had that $1,000 to be paying off some debt. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't be mad at me. This is the list the Lord gave me last night. I wasn't thinking of anybody. Okay. I was thinking of everybody. All right, the next one. Is this red or is this green?
Red.
Oh, I got to put it away. I got to get green. See, I'm red-green colorblind. All right, marketing. Two. Pride. Pride. Vanity. Do you really need a 2018 Cadillac, Mercedes? Give me another Lamborghini.
Porsche. Corvette,
yeah. Do you really?
Not really.
All right, that was the extreme.
Do you really need a Michael Kors $20,000 purse?
Yeah. Yeah. Oprah went into Switzerland somewhere and she got all nose out of joint because they looked at her and they said, "You can't afford that." Well, I'm going to buy it.
She could buy the whole store for
more.
We buy things of higher realm. What do we need in a car? We need transportation. We need reliability.
Safety.
Yep, sometimes. You know what? You know what, Jim? We really don't. We lived years ago and we never had it. Mm-hmm. We survived. We survived. We want comfort.
I do. I admit it.
For you to spend $10,000 difference because of your vanity and your pride, and you want to ride up there with the big shots, you just got robbed $10,000 difference. You could have bought a cheaper one. It would have been just as good. You don't have to trade it every year. You know what I mean? I'm just giving examples. I don't know your car buying habits. All right, Rita gave this. Did we say enough about the pride of vanity? The pride of vanity robs us. It robs us sometimes. It robs people in the choice of a house.
Yeah.
They have to have, the biggest, the best, the million-dollar house. Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
We also get robbed, though, and thieved, because I have many times over for a desire of different things I like all the bears and moose and all that stuff. And you see, I got to have that.
Trinkets.
And you want
worthless.
Cute things.
Not needed. Not needed. Hobby things, not needed. Listen. They have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Give it up.
Frivolous.
Yeah, you know what? I'm having a good time selling on eBay. I'm finding stuff that I haven't looked at for 10 years in the house. I just this morning got noticed that I sold my Bentley Volkswagen manual from the former Volkswagen I had. Got $30 for it on eBay. It was laying in the back room for years. I was going, I'm going to sell this on eBay. I don't even have a car of this year anymore. Somebody bought it in Minnesota. See? So, no, he probably needed it. It wasn't too vanity. It was in the late 90s, you know. Okay, Rita's lottery. Lottery. Oh, they publish the one guy once every 5 years that wins the big one. And what are you basically doing when you buy lottery tickets?
Gambling.
Who's getting the benefit of it?
The state.
The state. So basically, you're paying double taxes. You didn't have to pay that much tax. You got robbed. You know what, I bet you do too. I try to pay as little tax as I can, don't you, Larry?
Yeah, but the lottery is set up so now you don't have to pay any school taxes anymore. Remember that?
Well, it never turned out that way, did it?
But that's how they sold it.
Yeah.
And this is going to make it so you don't have to pay school taxes anymore.
And this is why they bring a casino into town. Because this is going to make it so that, our taxes are going to be so... We're going to bring all these people in from Utica and Syracuse and the North Country and the South Country and the... West and the East and everything else. No, that casino, I understand, is barely getting by.
Right.
Yeah, good. Oh, I got to tell you, who was talking about? Oh, Ellen was praying about marching around Jericho.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever told this story. When we were living in Newcomb, okay, with Mike Moses and the brethren up there. They came to us one time, this is before we had a pastor or anything up there, and they said, this it was beautiful property, right on the lake, right there almost across from Moses' house. And they said, somebody's buying that and they're going to make it into a bar. And the brethren said, we don't need any more bar in Newcomb, New York. This is the Adirondacks, you know where it is. So there are enough drinking lumberjacks up here or whatever. We don't need another one. So they got the idea and they said, or I don't know, maybe I had the idea. I'd like to take credit. I know I was involved in it. But we said, let's go march around that place. Well, we didn't want to do it in broad daylight. So we waited till dark. And I forgot that there was kind of a drop off in the back. Pitch black. I went over that drop off. Hey guys, we gotta march a little further out. We did seven times around that thing in faith, and you know what? 30 years later, as far as I know, they were never able to open that up as a bar. Some of it was the cause of guys like this building inspector just somehow would not give them the certificate, would not give them the license. It went on for years and years. I think they finally gave up. I think somebody owns it as a regular house on the lake now. Oh, it had acreage right down to the lake. Wow. It was beautiful. And you know what? I believe that God honored our baby faith to march around that place. It didn't fall, but it never was able to come to fruition. Wow. Amen. So, you know, there's ways to fight back. There's ways to fight the devil back. Spiritual ways. All right. So, the lottery. What's the lottery called?
Wow.
Gambling.
Gambling. There's other ways to gamble too, aren't there?
Yeah. Cards.
Cards.
Casinos.
Is there any other way, Larry?
Betting on sports events.
Oh, yeah, sports events.
That's big football.
Sports.
Yeah. You know, I went this week, the first time in 50 or 60 years, I went to my high school class reunion. 60th. Number 60.
Is she with another person?
No. 33% of the class has died.
Wow.
Of 100. 33 out of... We were 100. Exactly 100. The 33 have died. Anyway, we started getting them telling old war tales about school. And this one guy got up and he was talking to the other guy. And he says, you know, you bet me $30 on a Yankee World Series and you never paid me back. He says, so you owe me $30. They were just kidding, you know.
No, but he was going to pay him back that night. And the guy said, no, I don't want it because then you'll ruin my story.
Okay, so no, we're going to get into some others here. We got some good ones coming. Lotto, all right. Four. Fraud. How can the thief rob us by fraud? Here, I'll put the word transaction. Can I give anybody's personal example here?
I can give one too.
We've all got stories.
Can I give your more recent story?
Sure.
Okay. Karen is desperate to leave Mexico. I'll say Mexico. And she's got to leave. Job gone, apartment going. So she starts looking on the internet, and she finds this beautiful house in Cambridge. And she gave us the name, the address, and everything. And we looked it up, and oh yeah, it was a beautiful house. But where did you find that? Craigslist. Craigslist, by the way, Craigslist can be good. Craigslist, there's people waiting to defraud you. They're waiting. They've tried to do it to me already on Craigslist. Okay? So she looks it up, and she gets a phone number, talks to the guy, right?
Yeah.
Did he have an accent?
He had an accent, said he was going to a mission field in Reno, Nevada.
He's going to be a missionary to Reno. I'm thinking, Americans don't think that way. We think of going to Sin City if you're going to Reno.
Yes.
And he and his wife own it. They just left it behind. They're so sorry. They're gonna leave it for a couple of years, and maybe they'll come back and reclaim it, you know. But if you're ready to move in, go down to Walmart and send the money for the 1 month of rent, 1 month of deposit, and I will put you in touch with another man in Nevada somewhere where you can get the key.
The secretary.
Yeah.
Which I think was his name, because it sounded more like...
Well, no, you say, what a scam. It wasn't that obvious to you at first, was it?
In the beginning, I thought, well, I don't know.
This is too good to be true.
Scripture to me on the Bible.
Yeah, oh, he even knew how to quote some scripture.
Somebody told me, see, you got to trust me, sister. You got to...
So the desires were involved, the emotions were involved. And I don't blame it. It was a beautiful house. I mean,
it was too good to be true.
But the clue is... Go down to Walmart and fax me, or what do they do? Wire me the money. So she called us and she said, Brother Mark, I don't know, something smells a little funny. I said, what's the problem? She said, well, let me tell you the story. So I said, listen, I've got a computer, I'm going to look this up. So I went to the internet, houses for sale, Cambridge, New York, Cemetery Street. Viola, the house came right up. The man told her specifically, I will not put it with a realtor. There were three realtors listed that were representing that house. Uh-huh. One was the prime lister, the realtor himself. I called him. He got back real quick. I'm on my way out. I'll get back to you later. So that was Saturday. On Sunday, I got back to the guy. I said, okay, here's the deal. Somebody is renting your house. Are you aware of it? Is this authorized by you? He says, oh no, this is a scam. The man has no right. He doesn't even know that man. I gave him his phone number, his address. He said, you know what he said? He said, this happens to us, this realty firm, at least once a month. And the guy presented pictures to Karen. He took them off the computer. Pictures inside the house. Oh, it was a nice inside the house.
The furniture, though, that made it a little bit skeptical.
Well, yeah. So there's a scam, a false transaction. And when I tried to sell a car I'll just give you some example. I tried to sell a car on Craigslist, okay? Some guy got a hold of me and he said, "I'll pay you twice what you're asking for the car." Wow, that's too good to be true. I knew it was too good to be true. So I said, how am I going to deliver the car? Well, I'm going to send somebody, and you're going to load it on a train. And I said, no. I want to meet you in person, face to face. Face to face transaction. I will give you the keys to the car. You will hand me absolute American cash. Mm-hmm. I can't meet you for, face to face. I said, why not? Well, the thing's going out to Oregon. I said, fine, I'll go to Oregon. I didn't mean it. Well, you can't do that. I said, where are you? Well, I'm on a ship. I'm a merchant marine out in the middle of the ocean. He always had a story.
Wow.
I mean, I was just playing with him a little bit just to see how far this thing would go. Fraud.
Yeah, be careful too. Because laptop fraud. I was on my laptop shortly after I bought it, and all of a sudden it got locked up and this siren's going off and it wouldn't do anything. And they were saying I needed to call this number, call Microsoft and call this number. And so eventually, and it wouldn't let me get out of it or nothing, and it wouldn't do anything. It was locked up. Finally, we called this number, and I realized it was a scam. I said, they wanted me to pay money to them so they could fix my problem. I'm like, this is a scam.
They caused the problem.
This is a scam. I'm turning you in.
It's smart, huh?
Wasn't even a minute later, my laptop was working fine.
Wow.
They released whatever they did.
Wow.
They are out there.
Yeah, so fraud. Okay. Now, here's another one, and this is a big one. And here's where I'm going to have to ask Brother Larry's help here to back me up. It's called deceit. Now, it's right along with this one, but I've given it another word. This is, maybe I was ahead of myself. This is getting you to pay for something that does not exist. Now, I just happened to notice last week, what are these little things called on your computer? A little inbox. I have a spam box. And I rarely ever go look in the spam box, but I saw big number 6 by the spam box. So I thought, wonder what's in my spam box. And you know what I found? I found a Nigerian offer.
So when is Nigeria? Stay away.
Yeah.
Come on, tell us.
Well, Nigeria really is. He talk about the heart, you know, the epicenter of deceit and corruption, you know, and scams. Mm-hmm. It's from Nigeria.
Yeah. Yes.
You
know?
And they are smart people.
They don't speak English that well.
No.
Well, they have a little problem with English. You'll notice that there's a few English words that we commonly use that they, like, I call, it should have been I called. Yeah. They leave the tenses off, they leave prefixes off, and you can understand what they mean, but the English is wrong. And so I didn't open it completely, I clicked on it, and here came up this huge document. I mean, it had all the seals and everything else on the top of it, and notice is given by the Central Bank of Nigeria hereby that $30 million is made available, and
and you get a portion of it.
Well, you only have to, but you have to pay to get it.
Yeah, you only pay a couple of $1,000, and they'll say they're gonna give you like millions.
It's too good to be true, isn't it?
You would think so, but boy, they have scammed so many Americans.
What about those phone calls we've been getting about? You know, you've been found out to be guilty of such and such, and you owe so and so. We had some phone call that's saying. Yeah. That you need to get in touch with this blah blah blah, and,
or even the IRS. They're saying they did it to Gaza.
Yeah.
In case of what they told her, the money, or we're going to arrest you.
Yes.
And so she's trying to get the money. She's all upset. I said, "Well, who is
the IRS
calling you? Isn't that something?
Give me your number, and I'll call you back. No, you can, they won't give you a number.
Oh, try to call them back. And
they will not give you a number to call back.
Sometimes with the computer, if you call support, these are American, computers, right? You know, regular computer. You call, they will ask you sometimes, allow me to go in. These are foreign countries, actually working for the computer company, right? Give me the code so I can get into your computer and I'll fix it for you. In a foreign country? Well,
there is such a thing that they can come in. You know, when I took my computer down to Cobleskill, they put a little app in there that they can reach into my computer from Cobleskill when I get it home. Okay, I allow them to do that. But that means other people could get you to open up your door to your computer, and they could also come in and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, see, these are the kind of things we would never have talked about 40 years ago.
No.
Thieves have got new and creative ways to get you. Okay?
What about warranties? Like these car warranties, calling me constantly.
Yeah.
Calling my warranties over.
I never had a warranty. Yeah, it's just it's the work of the spirit of the thief. Okay, now we're coming to a close here. One of the tactics that's used to rob you is the thing that this offer is only open for the next so many hours. You must decide now. And I remember an advertisement on a radio of something that I intended to buy. It was legitimate, but the radio said, this offer is only open for till such and such, and the first 10 people that call, I must have been the 340th person to call, and it was the next day. I said, well, is the offer still open? I really want to buy this thing. Well, yeah, just ignore that. We'll sell it to you. You know. So in other words, even legitimate, quote, businesses use these thievery tactics.
And they get you to move quicker because they say, well, we've got three other people interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you better go now.
Operators.
Yeah.
Now, New York State, by the way, put in a 3-day cooling off law. And I took advantage of that one time. I had just moved back from Alaska. We had a trailer. We had a mobile home, by the way. I lived in one for a while. And I enjoyed it. Would do so again if I had to. But anyway, this slickster came around, and you know, the mobile homes don't put good carpet in their original, even in the new ones. So he came in and he sold us, I don't know, my wife might have bid on it or something, and all new carpet. And I looked at that and I got thinking and I thought, oh no, I am in school, I'm in Cornell, I am not going to pay for this. So I called a lawyer up. He said, no problem. You got 3 days. Just cancel it. Call him up and cancel it. It was about 2.5 days later I called them and canceled it. And boy, they were steamed. They did not like that at all. So, okay, final how is 6. I'm going to just put a simple one here. Beggars. Did you know that beggars can scam you?
Yes.
Beggars can put, yeah, just person to person, face to face, they can milk you. They can milk you for $100. They can milk you for $1,000. They can milk you for $10. There are legitimate people with legitimate needs out there. There are. But there are scammers out there too. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, I was walking under the bridge here in Schenectady. I've never walked under that bridge again or before on State Street. You know downtown where the railroad goes across? I must have had to park the car or something, go to the bank. And I'm coming back and there's a man just standing there. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I walked past him and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, give him something. Now, I don't do that. I don't give to beggars. But I think the Lord was just testing me. So I reach in my wallet and I go for the $1 bill. And the Spirit spoke to me again. He said, more than that. Sounds like my wife. When you go to leave a tip, more than that, Brother Mark. And so, I don't know, it was a $10 bill, I guess. I gave it to him. You know, the man was not aggressive or anything like that. He was just standing there. And I said, I turned back and I said, the Lord shows me you have a need. I'm giving you this because the Spirit of the Lord told me to do that. And I might have talked to him about being born again or something. I added that to it. And I said, I want you to know that if you trust in God, He can meet all your needs. And I think that's probably the way we should close up. We could go into the kill and destroy and the tactics in that, because maybe we should. Maybe we should talk about how lives are ruined by this destroying spirit. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about health. Well, health goes to here, sickness. But I'm talking about sin, that rebellion that people get into when they're young. And molestation happens to young children, you know, and they feel that they're ruined. They're not annihilated. They're not made extinct, but they're lost. They're ruined. And, you know, the people in hell, they still exist, but they're lost. The destroyer got to them. And Jesus is saying...
It leads to drugs.
Yeah.
To get away from all the pain.
Yeah. Drugs, yeah. Maybe we can talk about that sometime. But Jesus is saying, this is the nature of the thief. Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, our time is rushing on here, but let's take this serious, because we need to pray against these things. Let's come and open ourselves up to God and ask the Lord this week, Lord, is there anything that I am vulnerable? Do I have desires, emotion, greed, pride, whatever it is? Am I vulnerable to this thing in any way? Not am I leaving my house unlocked? That's not it. It's my soul, the vulnerability of my soul. This is what Jesus is really talking about, is the vulnerability of our soul to these things.
Are we allowing the enemy to come in the back door of our soul?
That's right.
Well, I think in essence what this that verse, John 10:10, is saying, there's a way of death, which is what you're talking about here, but Jesus is the way of life. And so every choice you make,
yes,
you're either choosing death or life, you know, and these are bad choices. And every time you make that choice, you're going the wrong way, you know.
And it doesn't matter, well, yes, it does, but whether or not you've already stepped into it, God can still bring you out. But it's going to have to be a different way. You're going to have to take on. You're going to have to ask God, deliver me. Just like this three-year-old. This three-year-old cannot control his soul, but he realizes there's something wrong in his soul that's making him disobey and get angry and stomping and storming about, you know. We have to ask God, deliver me from the spirit of the thief. And Lord, I'm asking this today for each one of us. Lord, deliver me from the spirit of the thief. Amen. And Lord, where I need prayer, where I need help, where I need to take a different route and overcome, where I need, I want to be paid back for all that the thief has robbed of me, Lord. I want it all back. And I know it's not going to come back quickly in one day, but I want to change the direction of my life so the thief can no longer rob me again in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to begin to prosper from this day on. I'm going to live in the goodness of the Lord, in the land of the living. And Lord, I shall have all that my soul needs. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let that be for each one of us. And listen, we'll take time next time if you really want prayer, and we'll go at it. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God bless you.
You know, like Linda was saying, the devil has a right because of our Adam nature. So he comes and he tries to get in there in any way possible. But Jesus... He had nothing in him that the devil could tempt, and that's right. Where we were.
You were going to say something?
Right.
Yeah. Talking about beggars.
Yeah.
Did Artie ever come back and give you money?
He called me.
He did?
And acknowledged that he owes it to me.
Yeah, but you haven't gotten it yet.
No, I haven't got it yet. Yeah, okay, I got robbed one day. Right here, the fellowship. This is good. I want to get it on the recording.
Prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting.
That's something Seth said.
Okay.
Pray and fast and get rid of it.
Come on.
God's waiting.
It's important what you people are saying. This is where I really need your help. This is a topic that every one of us has dipped our foot into.
And these are the ites that are in our soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we go into the promised land, you got to get rid of the giants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wanted to say about the lottery that there's a spirit of divination involved there. Mm-hmm. I know because I had to get deliverance from it. It was in my family. You're saying that you know ahead of time what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whenever I've been tempted with that, the Lord says, no, but it's divination.
Mm-hmm. Even if you, yeah, the gambling has a way of getting you.
I had a dream last Sunday before I came. I was on my way. I had some bags and luggage to catch a bus, I think, and I had to get it at 3:00, and it was about 3:03. And I was going along, and I got distracted over by, I would say, like a flea market kind of thing. And I went in there, and there was all sorts of stuff. And it was like a dark atmosphere, like a gypsies or something. Mm-hmm. And they were selling, you know, little earrings on a card. It was $6.50, mm-hmm. and I was looking at that. And I wanted to go further, and there was this, I wanted to go into the next room, and there was a big gulf from about here to the chair that I couldn't make it over. I would have fallen down. It was very dark. And I looked in this other room, there was this big antique mirror, and there was all these things. And I suddenly felt like I should turn back. And was I too late? Did I miss the bus I was headed to get?
Mm. Was this a dream or?
A dream.
Last Sunday, and I was going to share it.
Last when?
Sunday.
Last Sunday. I was going to share it, and then I said, no, it's for me personally. I know it's for me. Personally, I didn't know whether to share it or not, but it certainly...
Well, maybe it's a warning to stay away from the spirit of the thief. And
personally, I realized I got distracted when I was going somewhere. You always said a vehicle is a move of God, and I almost missed it because of being distracted by the stuff.
The first time, I was 28 years old, I was driving down from Alaska, and I drove all the way down through the U.S. just to see the states. And I stopped in Reno, Nevada, okay? And we stopped at a motel, and they give you all kinds of free tokens to go to the casino. In fact, your meal is almost free in the casino. You know, pay $1, you get a great meal. So we went in there, and they also give you a couple of quarters. In those days, that you had to pull. I don't know how they... I see people doing it electronically now with credit cards. So I'm just standing around watching, and these little women would come around. I don't know, they're little women, but they work for the casino. And she would say, what are you doing, sir? Yeah, got to get going, got to get moving, got to do something. I said, yeah, I'm just learning what's going on here. I've never been in one of these places before. She said, well, you got to do something. So I watched this woman. She fed this machine, fed it. And finally, in disgust, she walked away from it. And I thought, that machine has got to be just loaded, ready to pop. I went over and I put one quarter in. The whole tray filled up with quarters. And I scooped.
How the devil works.
Yes, it was the devil.
Because he wants to get you hooked. Oh, yeah.
I scooped up the quarters and I said, I'm out of here. I'll lose all these. I'll never get it back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beware the devil's tricks. He'll make you think you've won something only to put you down into deeper bondage.
There was a raffle out where I worked in Oswego. And we had all these different baskets. Well, I bought all these tickets. They're something for $1. And I put them in a thing for the wine. And they had the wine glasses and all that. I won it. I never won anything. I was like, oh, what a lure. I wound up with the wine. I wound up with the glasses. And I wound up with cheese and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could hook you.
Well, yeah.
If you were an alcoholic, that wine could... Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm going to shut the recording off. And now...
I suppose it's okay to drink a little glass